Blog Talk Radio.
Era notte a Târziu.
It was very late at night.
Stăteam pe o piatră afară.
I was sitting outside on a rock.
Lui Stan i-am arătat piatra că nu a fost la mine.
As Stan said, I showed him the rock when he came to my home.
Acolo stam și mă gândeam ce am făcut eu.
And I was just thinking, what did I do?
Plângeam să nu mă vadă familia.
I was crying so my family wouldn't see me.
Deodată am văzut că vine o lumină spre mine.
And all of a sudden I saw a light coming towards me.
Când am văzut lumina, am crezut că e o mașină.
When I saw the light, I thought it was a car.
În Italia și în România m-au urmărit cu mașina să mă omoare.
Because in Romania and in Italy they always try to run me over with cars.
După mine și aici.
So I thought they found me here too.
Dar n-a fost mașină.
But it was not a car.
Că lumina m-a cucerit.
The light surrounded me.
Și din lumina am auzit aceeași voce.
And out of the light I heard the same voice.
Era același înger.
It was the same angel.
Dumitru, de ce ești disperat?
Dumitru, why are you so despaired?
De ce m-ai pedepsit așa de tare?
Why did you punish me so harshly?
Ce am făcut eu?
What did I do?
Ce nu m-ai lăsat pe mine în pușcărie?
Why couldn't you let me stay in prison?
Familia avea unde să stea.
But my family would have had a home.
Zic, eu n-am unde pleca acasă.
I don't have a bed to lay my head down on.
De ce m-ai adus aici?
Why was I brought here?
Dumitru, te-am adus aici că țara asta va...
Dumitru, I brought you to this country because this country will burn.
Și m-ai adus să mă ard aici și nu m-ai lăsat să mor în pușcărie în țara mea.
So why did you bring me here to burn? Why didn't you let me die in jail in my own country?
Dumitru, taci.
He said, Dumitru, be quiet.
Urcă-te lângă mine.
Get beside me.
Ce aparat a avut, nu.
I don't know what the device was.
M-a tras lângă el.
But he pulled me beside him.
Mi-a arătat toată California.
And he showed me all of California. Do you see what I've shown you?
Sodoma și Gomorra.
This is a Sodom and Gomorrah.
Păcatul lor a ajuns înaintea lui Dumnezeu.
Their sins have reached God.
Și Dumnezeu a hotărât să-i pedepsească pe.
And God has decided to punish them by fire.
M-a dus și mi-a arătat Las Vegas.
He came and showed me Las Vegas.
Aici e Sodoma și Gomorra.
This is a Sodom and Gomorrah.
Într-o zi va...
And one day it will burn.
Mi-a arătat New York.
He came and showed me New York.
Aici e New York.
This is New York.
Aici e Sodoma și Gomorra.
This is a Sodom and Gomorrah.
Într-o zi va arde.
In one day it will burn.
M-a dus și mi-a arătat Florida.
And then he showed me Florida.
Aici e Florida.
This is Florida.
Aici e Sodoma și Gomorra.
This is a Sodom and Gomorrah.
Într-o zi va arde.
And in one day it will burn.
Da, cu mine ce ai să
faci? What will you do with
me, I said? Been listening to the Wake Up America message with Dimitru Dudeman. For a copy of this very important message, please go to our website at handofhelp.com. Never before in the history of our country has our nation been in more jeopardy than now. Please order a copy of the video Wake Up America at the handofhelp.com website and get the warning out while we still have time. This is the Light of Truth radio broadcast with Michael Boldea.
All right, welcome to the program. And once again, it is my pleasure to be here with you, to be able to converse, to be able to share, to be able to fellowship. Fellowship has become one of those underrated things of late. And I think that the only people who can truly appreciate fellowship, the only people who truly understand how priceless it is, are those people that don't have it. Because I get a lot of emails, and I get a lot of phone calls, and I get a lot of correspondence from people who don't have fellowship, who don't have a church that they can attend, who don't have a church that they can feel at home in, who don't have a fellowship that teaches the truth. And some of the letters that I get are simply heartbreaking. Some of the correspondence that I receive saddens my heart, because as children of God, as the family of God, fellowship ought to be a given for us. It ought to be one of those special things that we enjoy as children of God. And the fact that many believers nowadays can't find a place to fellowship, the fact that many believers nowadays can't find a church that they can call home, is truly a heart-wrenching thing. And the only advice that I have for those that are going through this, and I know that some of you may be listening tonight, some of you may be nodding your head up and down going, yep, can't find a place. Look, make your home your place of fellowship. Get together with your wife, get together with your husband, get together with your children, get together with your parents. Whatever you need to do in order to have fellowship, do it, because it is an important aspect of our Christian walk. Well, children, it would seem that the bitter cold has come. So if you hear my teeth chattering, you'll know what it is. Wisconsin is not the place that you want to be during the winter months. I'm here, and boy, do I wish I was somewhere warmer. My nose is still stuffed. I'm still coughing. And I know it's been a while, hasn't it? I keep you updated just to remind myself how long it's been. But it's getting better. So those of you that wrote me and said you're praying for me, I appreciate it. Thank you for your prayers. And those of you that said, just buck up, well, I'm here. So there you go. And it's not so much the cold itself. It's the wind that gets you. It's only like 21 degrees. It's not too bad, but with the wind, it's just brutal out there. You walk outside and your ears are frozen and you can't feel your fingers, and it's just horrible. Well, December the 8th. And this week the nation commemorated 75 years since the attack on Pearl Harbor that basically was the trigger, the match that lit the fuse that plunged this nation into war. Those of you that are old enough to have lived through that know the emotional impact it had on the nation. You know that the audacity of the attack, more than anything else, is what enraged the nation, and a once divided people regarding whether or not to go to war made up their minds due to that attack. I've read up on Pearl Harbor. I've read up on what happened, and I could only imagine the scene as hundreds of airplanes bombed and rammed into ships and people, mangled flesh and burning fuel, singing ever so slowly to eventually rest at the bottom of the harbor. When I was speaking in Hawaii a few years back, I actually went and visited Pearl Harbor. And you could walk out on this glass bottom walkway. The ships resting on the bottom of the ocean bed. And the person that was giving the tour said that there were still Navymen in those ships that had never been recovered. It would be their tomb. 2,400 people died on that day. And I don't think it's something that anyone can imagine unless they've actually lived it. And although I would like to think that we would have the same indignant reaction today as those who came before us had some 75 years ago, I really can't help but wonder if today the current administration would apologize for any microaggressions that might have triggered such an attack. I can't help but wonder if they would insist that the people understand where our enemies are coming from and that we must look within to see what we did to provoke such needless bloodshed. How times have changed. How people have changed. How convictions have changed. I think we've all heard the line, they don't make them like that anymore. I think all of us have heard it at some point or another. You must have. Whether it's about a car or about an antique piece of furniture or about a John Wayne. I'm sure you've heard the line, they don't make them like that anymore. But looking at this generation of man babies that we've managed to produce, looking at the limp-wristed, effeminate, quasi-androgynous, hypersensitive man-weasels that are just now dipping their toe into adulthood, I must wonder aloud if we still have enough blood pumping through our veins to make the same choices if what happened 75 years ago happened today. Up-and-coming generation, and I wonder to myself what other nations are seeing as they behold what this nation has become. And what you have to realize, and what we all have to acknowledge, is that any weakness is like chum in shark-infested waters for these men. All of these dictators, all of these power-hungry madmen that have managed to hold on to entire nations by sheer force of will and an appetite for violence, when they see the current crop of American exceptionalism, I guarantee you they're licking their lips waiting for the opportunity. Now, it's not all bad news. I'm not here to bum you out. And to be honest with you, with every cabinet appointment the president-elect makes, I'm a bit less despondent. Actually teetering, just teetering, mind you, on allowing myself a glimmer of hope. Now, it's not like hope for the future of the nation or anything so all-encompassing, but simply that maybe, I don't know, maybe we won't go down without a fight. Or perhaps, in the least, we won't apologize to our enemies for having dirtied their boots with our blood and such after they kicked our faces in. You know, things that were simple, common sense sort of things. Things that men just accepted back in the day, things that lent themselves to the notion of self-preservation, things that were natural and expected. Look, the upside-down world that we're living in is a scary place to those still clinging to the notion of common sense. And this is why appointments such as General James Mattis to the post of Secretary of Defense makes me think that there are still a handful of people with their heads on straight. It makes me think that there's still a handful of people that don't have a death wish. It makes me almost hope that we've not become a nation full of self-loathing idiots. It makes me optimistic that there are still some people who don't despise their own nation and who are not overcome by suicidal tendencies. Now, I know everyone likes to refer to General Mattis as Mad Dog Mattis, and it's fun to say. It really is. But the man is also known as the Warrior Monk, which I kind of like a little more than the Mad Dog, to be perfectly honest with you. Look, the guy is a brilliant military mind. The man knows strategy. The man knows warcraft. The man loves his country. And especially given the global situation that we're living in, the man understands the true danger that Islam poses. And the fact that there are certain individuals with whom diplomacy simply will not. I was reading somewhere just recently, I think it was as recent as today, that most immigrants into Eastern Europe or Western Europe, most immigrants into places like France and Germany and Italy, who are of the Middle Eastern persuasion, are in fact fighting age men. These are battle-ready jihadis by their own definition. And they're flooding Europe. If you think it's time to rest on our laurels and enjoy the sun, let me remind you that something wicked this way comes. I fear that this will not be a peacetime presidency. I've been looking and I've actually found the article. And it's a London newspaper. It says, ISIS has flooded Europe with 1,500 highly trained terrorists ready to launch attacks, chilling EU report claims. As many as 5,000 European ISIS fanatics have traveled to fight in Syria and in Iraq. Estimated 1,500 jihadis fighting with ISIS in Syria and Iraq have now returned to Europe with orders to carry out attacks. Around 30 to 35% have returned with specific missions. Let me reiterate. Around 30 to 35% have returned with specific missions, while the other half remained in the battle theater, which amounted to between 2,000 and 2,500 Europeans. So these are Europeans who went to fight for ISIS, who have become battle-hardened and have now returned to Europe. Remember Paris? Remember the guy in the truck? Remember the mangled bodies in the streets? Times that by 1,500. Not even, let's say that half of them go through with it. Half of them lose their grit. They lose their courage. They chicken out. Times Bataclan, times Paris, times these horrific attacks by 750. In every major Western European capital, way comes. And I fear that we will not be spared when they begin. Because whether we want to admit it or believe it or not, we've been infiltrated, and men have come to this nation with the intent to do it harm. The article continues, and it says, this means that as many as 1,750 may have returned based on the percentages listed in the report, which EU counterterrorism coordinator Giles Vickershov will present to the European Union Interior ministers on Friday. The report said there were two types of foreign fighters returning. First, the kind that would simply carry out missions And second, those who will drift back into their daily lives after having gone and taken lives on behalf of Allah. If you are committed enough to travel halfway around the world to wage jihad on behalf of Allah, I would submit to you that chances are better than good that you will not simply drift back into civil society. This is a hopeful report, but it's not a realistic one. I'm sorry, I don't believe that most of these men will simply drift back into life as it once was. It says the report comes after Belgium expressed concern last month that jihadists were increasingly returning to Europe as U.S.-backed coalition forces drive the terrorist group from Syria and Iraq. The report even claimed some European women and children born or raised in the so-called caliphate declared by ISIS in Iraq and Syria could pose a security threat as they may have been radicalized. Without giving figures, it's said some returnees have been convicted and serving prison sentences, while others are being monitored and some are free in their communities. So this is what Europe is dealing with. I'm very glad that someone like General Mattis will serve as the Secretary of Defense in the coming 4 years, given that this is what Europe is having to deal with. Now, in case you don't know who General Mattis is, he is the man that was famously quoted as saying, "Be polite, be professional, but have a plan to kill everybody you meet." That should be on a t-shirt. It really should. Look, I know that for the snowflake crowd and the up-and-coming generation, the notion of masculinity is so foreign that someone like General Mattis is enough to have them running for their safe spaces. But this man is as solid as they come. And he understands the world that we live in rather than attempt to project a utopian version of the world wherein we all walk hand in hand, singing lullabies and picking wildflowers. Something wicked this way comes. I need you to prepare your hearts for it. I need you to steel yourselves for it. Because I'm seeing a lot of Christendom breathe a sigh of relief and go back to bed. I'm seeing a lot of Christendom breathe a sigh of relief and roll over and go back to sleep. Something wicked this way comes. Now, given that retired General John F. Kelly has just been selected as the head of the Department of Homeland Security, that brings us to a total of three, count them, three retired generals to have prominent roles in the new administration, two of which are Marines. So hoorah! I don't know about you, but even with everything that's happening, especially with everything that's happening in Europe and throughout the world, I don't know about you. Let me put it this way. Between these three men of noble character and service and grit and the first transgender head of the DHS or the first albino lesbian as the Secretary of Defense, I'd choose these men every day of the week and twice on Sunday. I think that whole idiocy with firsts has gone by the wayside, thankfully. And I think not with everyone, but with a majority of the people in this nation. Because somewhere deep down, even if they don't want to acknowledge it forthrightly, they realize that if someone is unqualified for the task at hand, if someone is woefully unprepared, if someone is not up to the job, then them being the first of their gender or the first of their ethnicity at it means absolutely nothing. So I'm hoping that as a nation, we've gotten past this whole first syndrome. Look, enough people in this country realized that having the first woman president would be a cold comfort if we were going to become Venezuela because of it, due to her politics. And because of this, she didn't get the job, thankfully. Now, as I prognosticated, the other side is in full panic mode. They're doing everything they can to undermine and to disrupt. And if you think they're going to quit after the inauguration, you've got another thing coming. This is why, as I said, this is no time to rest on our laurels. This is no time to bask in the sun. Now, I'm not naive enough to think that we're out of the woods, or even that there's a way out of the woods. But I refuse to just roll over and play dead. I refuse to not do anything that I know is within my power to do because I found some weasel's way out of not doing what I know is the right thing to do. Look, we have to realize that these people are beginning to acknowledge that they can't lie to the masses anymore because there are just too many alternate news sources out there, so their new battle cry is that of fake news. What is fake news? Well, whatever they say fake news is. Whatever they label as fake news. What you need to understand is that they're terrified of no longer being the gatekeepers of information. They are terrified of you being able to see all the requisite evidence, then making up your mind for yourself. They want to tell you what to think, why you should think it, how you should act, why you should act in that way, what to eat, how to dress, what to drive, what to embrace, what to reject, and everything in between. The fact that they see this power slipping between their fingers terrifies them. They don't know what to do. They're beside themselves. Because they realize they can't control everything anymore. And we're back to this notion of being socially engineered. And they thought they had it in the bag this last election. Man, they were already celebrating before the first vote was cast. Paint corks were a-popping, fireworks were planned. Everything but the fat lady belching out a tune as far as they were concerned. They believed until it was inevitable and irrefutable that they had this election sewn up, that we would slide further into the pit at ever greater speeds, and that no one was interested or curious as to where we were headed or what the destination was. they thought that their propaganda had had enough effect where in the vast majority, the overwhelming majority, wouldn't give credence to a few voices here or there who kept screaming, beware, danger ahead. But what they didn't take into account was the average person's innate sense of self-preservation. This is very important. What they didn't take into account was the average person's innate sense of self-preservation. What they didn't take into account is that the people they were attempting to propagandize were not true believers like themselves. They were not indoctrinated like some seventh-degree Scientologist who believes that we're the byproduct of alien fecal matter. Their sense of self-preservation, the average individual out there, their sense of self-preservation has not been seared. It had not been killed off. It had not been altogether beaten into submission in lieu of the almighty agenda. Contrary to their firm belief, the vast majority of people were not brainwashed like them. The vast majority of people didn't really think that a fully grown man in a dress sharing a bathroom with a six-year-old girl was perfectly acceptable. The majority of people weren't willing to risk annihilation for the sake of diversity. The vast majority of people weren't willing to be wards of the state until they were told it was time to die. Because this is what's happening in some so-called civilized, westernized nations in Europe. People are simply told, well, you're of no use. You're a drain on the system. We can put you to sleep and keep you that way. No matter how much they tried to normalize the perverted, no matter how much they tried to normalize the obscene, no matter how much they tried to normalize the abominable, no matter how much they tried to normalize the aberrant, people understood and innately so that this was not the path they wanted to continue down. This was not the country they wanted to see come to fruition, and they actually did something about it. And now you have many voices saying that the will of the people should not be taken into account. You have many voices saying that what has worked for 200 some years in this nation isn't working anymore as far as the Electoral College is concerned, and that we should, by all accounts, become a pure democracy where majority vote rules. And if somehow they manage to turn this, to twist this, to do something to make the average citizen believe that his vote no longer counts for anything, that there is no such thing as peaceful change, then the communists will have succeeded in causing a revolution in this country. If I recall, somebody talked about a revolution started by the communists in this country. Not being one to beat a dead horse, you can go to the Hand of Help website and read up on it for yourself. Look, to foster this idea that we can disregard the will of the people, to foster this idea that our betters can make decisions contrary to what we've told them to do, will give the citizenry of this nation no other option but to rebel. Look, what we must realize, and we have to do it now rather than later, because we have not a moment to waste, is that these people learn from their mistakes. They have countless brains and think tanks crunching numbers and doing polling and peer testing and everything else that they can think of to see where they went wrong. What part of their agenda the people didn't want to shove down their throats, then tailor it in such a way as to mask, because they realize that the alternative media is a true force to be reckoned with, because they realize that the people are listening and they're watching and they're reading and they're being informed. The new narrative is this whole thing about fake news. I guarantee you this is going to be the new narrative. Just you wait and see. This will be the general narrative in primetime news outlets within the month, because they're realizing that they can't shame people for being patriotic. They can't shame people for wanting to protect their families. And they can't shame people for wanting to keep their jobs anymore. They're realizing that we've adopted their tactics to a certain extent. And when they come out and defiantly call us knuckle draggers and trolls and misfits and deplorables, well, we act with our wallets and with our debit cards and our credit cards and our pocketbooks, and we hit them where it hurts. It's the only thing they understand. Hit them in their bottom line. Hit them in their profit margin. It happened with the Target stores, and now it's happening with the Kellogg's brand. If you don't know what I'm talking about, apparently, Kellogg's decided to pull its advertising from a prominent news site, and if they would have done it quietly without causing a ruckus, no one would have been the wiser, and there would likely have been no blowback. But they needed to make a statement. They needed to get on their soapbox and declare that they will no longer be advertising with this site because it does not reflect their politics. Well, first of all, I did not know that morning cereal was supposed to have a political slant. And second of all, I think they miscalculated just a smidge. Because usually, people who buy morning cereal, people with children. And people with children are usually family folk, and family folk and people with children usually vote a certain way. And those people with children who vote a certain way are the kinds of folks who visit this particular news site regularly. So in order to appease Rupert and Thaddeus, the couple down the street who adopted a lovely beagle, they flung mud at every family who voted for change in this nation came out and said, we don't want your business. Rupert and Thaddeus will eat our Kellogg's. They won't. They eat poached quail eggs and salmon fumet or whatever they eat. So basically, Kellogg shot themselves in the foot, just like Target did. And now there's a petition out to boycott Kellogg that's got over 400,000 signatures on it. 500,000 people, almost. It'll surpass that. I guarantee you it'll hit 1 million eventually. Because people are tired of being socially engineered. People are tired of being told what to think, how to act, what to say, and how to say it. And this is the only way to teach these people that we will not be cold, that we will not come to heel, that we will not be browbeaten or shamed into silence for believing that deviant practices are deviant, or that we should do our utmost, rapists and murderers and thieves, from crossing our borders and killing our citizens. Look, make their bottom line bleed red until they cry uncle, then keep boycotting them on principle. Switch to oatmeal. It's healthier anyway. Again, it's this blatant attempt at being socially engineered and indoctrinated that just steams my broccoli, and I will not abide it or sit by, because if you allow it to happen once, twice, and if you allow it to happen twice, it'll happen every day, all day, until you're looking around at all the people parroting the same kind of lunacy as what you're hearing on television and wondering how exactly it has come to this. Now, I got a chuckle out of this because, well, what they call fake news is actually facts that they tried to suppress. But astounding to me that this is what got the Penn's Barbie to come out of the shadows. Can you believe that? This is what got the Penn's Barbie to come back, because this epidemic of fake news is so harmful. She just had to stop beating Bill in the dungeon for an hour just so she could make this all-important statement. And I wrote down what she said because it was funny. The epidemic of malicious fake news and fake propaganda that flooded social media over the past year, it's now clear that so-called fake news can have real-world consequences. Yes, fake news made you lose. Boo-hoo. This isn't about politics. Oh, yes, it is. Or bipartisanship. Lives are at risk. Oh, yes, madam. Lives are at risk. Benghazi? Lives were at risk then. You didn't put yourself out there, did ya? Lives weren't just at risk. Lives were lost. So, yeah, let's dial it back with the self-aggrandizement, shall we? Clinton called for Congress to pass legislation. Really? Free speech, anyone? No, well, the only free speech should be the speech that we agree with. Can you see it? Can you see the pieces falling into place? Because they've already done the math and they realized why it is they lost. And so now they're trying to shore up areas that caused them to lose. Clinton called for Congress to pass legislation to stop it. and for tech moguls in Silicon Valley to continue searching for a way to block it from entering readers' Facebook and Twitter feeds. Now, I do have a question. 'Tis a simple question, for I am a simple man. Who decides what is fake news? Who decides what is real news? And who is it that gets to choose what is suppressed and what is not? Madame Clinton finished her oratory and said, "It's a danger that must be addressed and addressed quickly." Clinton made her comments during speech honoring Senate Minority Harry Reid's retirement from the Senate. Yes, indeed, the epidemic of malicious fake news and false propaganda that flooded social media over the past year have real consequences, like exposing everything you tried to hide and everything you tried to keep bottled up and hidden from the light. Yes, real-world consequences indeed. So, there you go. She is encouraging Congress to limit your access to information. Because this is why totalitarian regimes like Cuba and China and North Korea have been so long-lasting. This is why they're still around. They limited the access to information by the citizenry. Another way of putting it is they kept their people ignorant. And now, the Pens Barbie is encouraging the Congress to pass legislation to do that here. So it's not as though this up-and-coming generation is dumbed down enough. It's not as though we're raising a generation of monosyllabic mouth breathers. We need to limit access to information more. Because it's fake news. Came out and denied anything that was in those emails, did they? Just a question. Since we're on the topic and we only have about 10 minutes left, might as well get into this because I don't have time for anything else. They never came out and denied anything that was in those emails. Even the spirit cooking thing. Never once. Not a spokesperson. Not a chief of staff. No one came out and said, the information contained in these emails is fallacy. Their beef is with the fact that you, the average schmo, was privy to the inner workings of their plan, of their agenda. Because honestly, I don't know how well it sat with Catholics when they read emails from Madame Clinton's chief of staff that encouraged basically anarchy from within the Catholic Church, that encouraged infiltration to upturn Catholic dogma. So I don't know how well it sat with the voters, but none of them ever came out and said, it's a lie. It's a lie. Nobody said that. At least Bill Clinton tried. I did not. I really did not. At least he tried to lie. These people didn't even try to lie. They never said it wasn't true. They're just upset that the truth came to light. So just keep that in mind if you think this is over. The Pence Barbie came out of hiding to encourage Congress to pass legislation to limit your access to information. And she chose Harry Reid's retirement to do it. So yes, what do you know? Harry Reid retired from the Senate. Now, I have a question. I'm not trying to be nitpicky, but it's a cold night, and I have to amuse myself somehow. Why haven't the Mormons disavowed themselves of Harry Reid? If they're so pious and holy and righteous and morally superior as to not be able to bring themselves to vote for anyone other than the Pence Barbie, why haven't they disavowed themselves of this slug of a man, this vile, putrid thing that leaves a trail of slime behind him a snail would be envious of? Riddle me this. I was the leader of the denomination, let's say, that Harry Reid belonged to. I wouldn't touch the man with a 10-foot pole. Not only is he a liar, he's perverse. But that's just neither here nor there, just a question. Because apparently all the Mormons were on their fainting couches voting for McMuffin because they could not fathom the thought. But you keep Harry Reid close to your breast. Good times, good times. Anyway, what else happened? Earthquakes off the coast of California. Two of them, over six. And an even bigger one in the Solomon Islands. Now, if you don't know why that's important, look up the Ring of Fire. And you'll get an idea. The Chinese media is calling for nuclear buildup. Russia is testing drone subs. So pretty much good times had by all. Yes, we can all afford to sit idly by and gaze at our navels and wait for time to simply pass us by. Does it sound like it? With everything that we've discussed tonight, does it sound like we can just sit idly by? If anything, it's time to pray more than ever before. If anything, it's time to fast more than ever before. Anything, it's time to get into the Word of God and understand the will of God for our lives more than ever before. If anything, it's time to press in. If anything, it's time to cry out. If anything, it's time to surrender our all to Jesus and hold nothing back. If anything, it's time to labor. If anything, it's time to stand. If anything, it's time to be about our Father's business, purpose and intensity and ferocity than ever before. Honestly, I don't know how much time we have. I don't. I really don't. This whole thing can implode and fall in on itself in the blink of an eye. the Dallas pension system just suspended access to funds. What do you think will happen if the same is done with the EBT program or the social assistance program? Just another thought. Hypothetical, if you will. So yeah, really not a time to rest on our laurels. Really not a time to gaze at our navels. Anyway, thank you for listening. Thank you for tuning in. We did not have questions this week, but hopefully next week we will. I appreciate you. I pray for you. Thank you for your prayers. As I mentioned, next week I will not be live. Record an hour's worth of programming, and it will be played for you. But I am going to see my daughter in her first Christmas play. So God bless you all. And with that, Gino, the floor is yours.
All right. Thank you so much, Michael. Again, we will be putting the program up on YouTube. Keep us in prayer as we continue to broadcast the Light of Truth. If you have questions, please send them in to lightoftruth@handofhelp.com. Especially questions that refer to spiritual issues and matters, doctrine. But any question you have, we consider important. Again, our website, handofhelp.com, and Michael has a new book out called The Battle Ready Believer, and we thank you for listening tonight. Pray that you have a blessed evening.
Thank you for listening to today's broadcast, The Light of Truth with Michael Baldea. If you would like to order a copy of today's broadcast, please visit our website at handofhelp.com. If you have questions about our ministry, you can email us at handofhelpoffice@aol.com or simply call us at 920-206-9910. God bless you.